It is the morning show with Nick Harcourt at 88.5, coming to you today from the mothership in Northridge at Sea Sun. And I want to welcome to the studio Inara George. Good morning. Good to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Thanks so much for coming in and bringing the band. Maybe before you do anything, you can introduce the musicians you have in studio with you.
I will. I'm looking at Gabe Knoll. He's playing upright bass.
Sup, Gabe.
And Joe Kennedy's playing piano. And Mike Andrews is playing guitar.
Thanks all for coming in. We're going to talk about the new record that comes out in January 19th, in fact, Dearest Everybody. But we get a nice advance listen to some of the songs from it right now, live on the air at 88.5. It's Inara George.
Thank you. All right.
Sunset, making records at night. There's a calling in my gut, and I have to just follow it. I was a girl in New York City, collecting stories like I'm saving money, just hang it on the wall. We didn't care at all, 'cause caring meant that we were strong and hot with our wine-stained teeth and some dirty little habits. I would never change a thing, just the way I got out of it. Where is the line between all this joy and all this sorrow? Ooh, do you know that helps you get I know. times that I stood with the sun on my face and your words in my mind. You were all.
It's 88.5, Nick Harcourt, your host in our Georgian studio this morning. And Mike doing his Manita Staplata there, which is kind of nice. Congratulations. So this new album, first of all, it's so nice to see you because I haven't seen you for ages.
It's been a really long time.
And
I was saying before, it feels nostalgic.
It is in a weird kind of way, isn't it? Somebody was asking me when I got in here this morning, Mookie, our music director, was like, "Has he got any history?" Because, everybody knows I've been doing this forever now and assume that I've met people. But you and I probably met about 18 years ago.
Yeah. I think maybe longer.
When you were like six or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was six.
Yeah, just a little kid doing children's theater in Topanga. but no, I met you on one of your previous projects, Merrick. And then obviously through the years, you've done a ton of things, including the Living Sisters.
Yes.
But you're probably best known as one half of the Bird and the Bee.
That seems to be the most most public.
But you've done a ton of other stuff as well and a couple of solo records. But this is the first solo thing for about 8 or 9 years or something
it
like
is.
That.
So
so why now? You've been away doing other things like having a family.
Mm-hmm.
But why a solo record right now?
Well, it sort of was a solo record over a long period of time. And I think it was finally, I felt like I had enough songs and I had sort of an idea of what I wanted it to be. And then I hooked up with Mike again, Mike Andrews, and he's produced all my solo records. So I think, having kids and having a family and everything takes a little bit longer. It's like just drops in the bucket until your bucket's a little bit full enough to go forward. So I don't know if it was why this time. It was sort of because it was I had enough to go on for a whole record.
Yeah, your partner in crime on the Bird and the Bee, Greg Kirsten, is gone on to be like one of the biggest producers in the world right now.
It's
as
crazy.
Well, which is nuts because I can remember him coming into the other place I used to work at 20 years ago with his first wife, I think, and they were doing theremin weird stuff.
Yeah,
the Kirstens.
Like a lifetime ago.
When you write, do you write on your own? Do you write with other people? I mean, I presume when you were in the Bird and the Bee, that was a co thing. But did you write songs separately and bring them together? How do you write?
I think all of the different projects is different. For this solo record, I pretty much had all the songs ready, and then Mike and I would work on them. But in the past, Mike and I have written quite a bit together for past records. And that one's usually I'll bring something that's sort of halfway done, and then we collaborate on the rest. The Bird and the Bee, it's like we just get into a room together and we write a song. We don't tend to bring stuff in. The Living Sisters, usually it's we just bring a fully formed song and then everyone sings it. So, but I enjoy, I think writing solo is a little more lonely in a way, or you have to be more self-motivated. But sometimes it's the most gratifying emotionally. And then writing with someone, I tend to find is the most, it's like the most joyful process of writing, in my opinion.
So in the process of writing the songs that are on Dearest Everybody, and I want to remind people that comes out January 19th, and you have a show at the Hollywood Forever that night.
Yes.
Which we should tell people about. Yeah. We'll remind them at the end. This collection of songs, it from what you're saying, it's that they've been a while in the works as you've been busy.
They've been percolating.
Percolating.
Yes.
Remember those old coffee makers that used to do that? Yeah. Anyway, weird imagery from the 60s. So how long a period of time? What's the oldest song on the album?
I don't know. I mean, definitely, I'd say like there might be one that's like 5 years old or
right.
something.
And did you, when you sat down with Mike, already have the song sketched out, the lyrics worked out? I mean, tell us about the process of coming to him with what you had.
Well, you know, I was sort of, I had gotten a setup at my house to record some things. And so I had recorded like guitar and a lot of, on this record, and it isn't, in the first two songs that have been released, it doesn't really show it, but there's a lot of vocal arrangements. And so I had sort of done some of that work before, and it's like a lonely process, and I wanted to get in the studio with Mike. And so I would bring a song that maybe I'd already recorded and we'd re-record it, or we would use some of the stuff that I'd recorded before, and just kind of got a sense of what the record should be. I mean, it's sort of a personal record. It's a little bit more emotionally like it's not, it's like hard on the sleeve a little more, you know? So I think we wanted to be sensitive to that. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's just like making records is always a process.
And I know talking about, you know, that process is probably not the easiest thing for a lot of people, especially lyrically, if something's so personal. But you sort of indicated that things were a little different this time around from where you were coming from. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, having a family and all that kind of stuff, how that impacted what you write about?
Yeah. Well, and this song, this record, all the songs are essentially kind of like love letters to friends and family who have lost someone or the person that's actually gone, you know. So I was talking to somebody the other day. I was doing an interview with a journalist and sort of talking about, like, he had sort of said that it doesn't have the romantic love feeling. It's more about the different aspects of love as you get older, and that it's not about falling in love, but it's about the relationships that you have today, you know, as you get older, with your children or with your parents or with your husband or wife, or, you know, or your longtime partner, that you, it's navigating that. And then also the reality that when you lose someone and you're left behind, or that those are big feelings that we don't always discuss, I guess.
So maybe a combination of understanding relationships that you've had, and then perhaps the importance of the ones that you still have.
Yeah, and respecting that losing people it makes you who you are. It creates, you know, your life, your memories, it's the trail of your life and who's been in it and their importance to you. And I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, you are. It's I'm just thinking it's weird getting older, isn't it?
Because
it
is
just
really weird. It's so weird.
Just have a whole other perspective on everything.
It is. I mean, it's really kind of beautiful too. It's you know, it's like you're walking this strange line of grieving who you were and embracing who you're becoming, and I don't know. It's like the midlife crisis thing. I think we sort of schluff it off. Is that a word? But it's such a real thing. It's like it's in a very internal thing where you're kind of wrestling with, I don't know who you are, and because you have to kind of let go of who you were. And I don't know, I think it's an interesting process.
And trying to do it in a graceful way.
In
a grown up way without destroying everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, women seem to manage that a little bit better than guys.
I suppose maybe that's why we don't talk about women going through it as much.
It's true.
But
actually, you said midlife crisis, I'm like, we don't hear about
you
that.
You think
so
about
much
like
women.
Ferraris and guys, you know, guys leaving their wives for younger women. But I think it's a universal thing. Everybody goes through it.
Well, listen, it is so good to see you. And I could talk, you know, a lot longer than we have time for. But thank you for coming in, and all the guys who are in the studio with you as well. So the album is called Dearest Everybody. It comes out on Friday, the 19th of January. You have a show that night at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And for anybody listening in other parts of the country or maybe traveling, Friday, January 26th, you're at Boot and Saddle in Philadelphia, which is where my kids live. I'll send them down.
Oh, nice.
And then Monday, the 19th of February, Sunday, the 25th of February. Oh, you're at Noise Pop, which is a festival in
yes.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
So the website for more information is inaragorge.com. And you're going to wrap it up with which song?
Release Me.
Release Me. It's Inara George on the Nick Harcourt Show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. So great to see you.
You too.
My
don't believe us. The things that have been spoken would leave anyone heartbroken. But never mind, I'm still a survivor. But I'm begging to be lighter. It's all on me to set this free. So won't you to be free?